The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. Of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Yes, good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome. It is Wednesday, January 16th, 2013, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. We're coming to you live and direct from Rolla J Studios here in beautiful Potland, Oregon, and we got plenty of news, interviews, and opinion to bring to you on today's Russ Belville Show. We're going to start off with some headlines. We got some great new poll news from various states, even from in the Midwest and the South, showing the growing acceptance for marijuana reform in this country. We're going to go behind the headlines to one of the freest places for marijuana smokers on the planet. You won't believe where it is. Also on today's show, it's Irie Wednesday for our daily Toker Tunes. We're going to turn things over to Brian the Red over here in our co-host desk. I'm having trouble saying that. You got the Irie tune for today. What's up?
I was looking through some stuff to find a track for tracks for tonight's Red Eyes Reggae Flashback at 8 o'clock Pacific. And I found an old CD, two CD set of some stuff. Well, not old. It's from 2002, but, you know, old enough. And it's some good stuff, and I haven't played any of it on my show yet. So we're going to play a track for the Irie Wednesday tune, and then I'm going to play another track tonight on the Red Eyes Reggae Flashback. So
all right. Looking forward to that, 8 o'clock Pacific time. And also on today's show, half past every Wednesday, we always speak to Dr. Mitch Earlywine in our Cannabis Q&A segment. So get into our chat room. If you're just watching right now, log in. Just type /login and create yourself an account there on Ustream. You can log into our chat room and ask your marijuana questions on science, culture, history, health, anything you want to know about cannabis. Dr. Mitch will be able to answer that for you. Except the strain questions. Save those for Danny Danko. Also on today's show, we're going to have time for a little bit of a radical rant. You know me, I've been working overtime on this Project Sam, the Smart Approaches to Marijuana. We have secured Smart Approaches on Twitter. We have just secured, thanks to your help, Smart Approaches on Facebook today. And of course, we're going to launch smartapproaches.com on Monday, the parody account against the Smart Approaches to Marijuana that seeks to put you in mandatory rehab, whether you need it or not, simply for smoking pot. In the rant today, we're going to take a look at the figurehead, the chairman of Project Sam, Patrick J. Kennedy, the scion of the Kennedy clan, and why he has the moral authority to put you in a rehab you don't need. Stick around, we got all that and more coming up on the Russ Belville Show.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
K-N-O-W. California is the center of marijuana consciousness. That's why High Times Magazine is returning to the Golden State for our second High Times Medical Cannabis Cup in Los Angeles. That's right. Come to LA Center Studios on February 16th and 17th for this high-flying event. Meet the medical cannabis industry, visit our extra special medicating area, and sample the best cannabis products of Southern California. There'll be cultivation seminars and presentations about getting pot legalized, not just in California, but everywhere. Be there on Saturday evening when we host a Rock'em Sock'em concert with surprise musical guests. And don't forget Sunday night and the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup Awards when we honor the best sativa, best indica, best hybrid, best concentrate, and best edibles of the LA medical cannabis scene. Plus, we present the High Times Lifetime Achievement Award to marijuana superstar Tommy Chong. Come to the City of the Angels on February 16th and 17th for a High Times cannabis celebration. Go to MedCanCup.com for details. Live the high life. Be proud of who you are. Be part of the growing cannabis community.
And Blue Blasting Gergen, Fuffin' Dur Blasting Schnurb Norbin. The Russ Belville Show.
I'm not very good at singing songs, but here's a try.
According to lifelong pot smoker and rocket scientist Carl Sagan, making apple pies from scratch is extremely difficult.
If you wish to make an apple pie from scratch, you must first invent the universe.
Radical Russ and the Rolla J Studios crew will be right back after these messages.
A morning filled with 400 billion suns. The horizon of the Milky Way. Cosmos is full beyond men.
Now it's time for your 420 Radio News for Wednesday, January 16th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. Marijuana polls show strong support for medical marijuana and cannabis legalization in several states. This from MMJBusinessDaily.com. A poll conducted by QMark Research for the Drug Policy Action Group in Hawaii found that 78% of registered voters support the creation of a tightly regulated dispensary system. The survey also found that 57% of Hawaii residents favor legalizing, regulating, and taxing the sale and use of marijuana by adults. Nearly 70% of the voters in New Hampshire favor the legalization of medical marijuana, and 53% said they would support a law to legalize, tax, and regulate marijuana for adult use. 59% of respondents to a recent poll in Arizona said they support the Arizona Medical Marijuana Act. There's also a sizable support for general marijuana legalization. 53% of Arizonans support it. A public policy polling survey found that 58% of voters in North Carolina support medical marijuana, and a similar poll conducted by the same organization in West Virginia found that 53% of voters in that state support medical marijuana legalization. 2 years probation for the marijuana activist known as New Jersey Weed Man. A Superior Court judge in Burlington County sentenced a nationally known marijuana activist to 2 years probation and more than $3,400 in fines on Wednesday for possessing a pound of pot in his car nearly 3 years ago. Ed Forcion, who calls himself New Jersey Weed Man, had exploited the inconsistency of criminal and medical marijuana law, drug laws to win acquittal of the more serious charge of distribution when he was tried in October. Forcion could have faced 10 years in prison on the distribution charge. Authorities said Forcion, age 48, a Rastafarian, was the first criminal defendant in New Jersey to be allowed to base his defense on his license to use medical marijuana. The judge said probation was warranted because Forcion is, quote, not among a group of hardened criminals that include murderers and rapists, end quote, and he suffers from painful bone tumors and needs medical treatment. State Senator introduces medical marijuana bill to the Kansas Senate from KCTV5.com. Once again, Kansas is pushing to legalize medical marijuana, and one lawmaker says it is not a matter of if, but when it will be a legal option. Said Senator David Haley, Democrat of Kansas, quote, "It's just going to be a matter of time before all of this country has it, and I just don't want Kansas to be the last state to enact it," end quote. That is why Haley has introduced Senate Bill 9, which would allow patients to obtain and use marijuana without fear of arrest. The bill would allow patients with certain qualifying conditions who have received recommendations from their physicians to privately possess and use up to 6 ounces of marijuana and grow up to 12 marijuana plants in their homes. It also calls on the Kansas Department of Public Health to regulate and license medical marijuana compassion centers to provide medicine to qualified patients. The department would be able to limit the number of centers in any particular area. Connecticut releases proposed medical marijuana regulations, this from the Hartford Courant. Pot-laced baked goods, pills, and oils could be legally available to seriously ill patients by the end of this year under a set of careful and comprehensive new rules governing the medicinal use of marijuana to be outlined Wednesday. The result is a proposal that tops 70 pages and governs everything from the containers in which the drug will be sold, they must be opaque and have childproof caps, to the clothing that dispensary workers will be permitted to wear. No pockets allowed. Those seeking to grow it will need to have deep pockets. The policy proposes that growers put $2 million in escrow and pay a $25,000 application fee and a $75,000 license fee. The El Paso County District Attorney bows out of the fight over medical marijuana evidence. This from the Colorado Springs Gazette. El Paso County prosecutors are taking a new tack in the battle over medical marijuana held by police in the wake of failed prosecutions. They want out of the fight. The 4th Judicial District Attorney's Office last week said it declined to take a position on a demand by Rocky Mountain Miracles owner Avita Hillary that police return her marijuana or hand over $3.3 million in compensation after her December jury acquittal on felony drug charges. Prosecutors in a January 7th court filing forwarded Hillary's motion to the return of her marijuana to the Colorado Springs Attorney's Office, which has yet to respond in writing. And that's your 420 Radio News for today, Wednesday, January 16th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we go behind the headlines to take a look at one of the freest countries on earth for marijuana smokers. This is the Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back.
I'm Sub Cool from Team Green Avenger. At TGAGenetics.com, we are working on the leading edge of medical strains. Our strains are rigorously tested for THC, CBD, THCV, and other critical cannabinoids. Know your grow. Check out our genetic diversity at TGAGenetics.com, the home of Jelly Bean, Jack the Ripper, Vortex, and other award-winning cannabis strains.
Russ Belville Show. Chat is for friends 18 and older. We expect our chat to be civil, mature, and free from excessive profanity. If you don't like these rules, there are approximately 6 billion other chat rooms with lower standards that you can visit.
Welcome back, everyone. Time for us to go behind the headlines to one of the freest countries in the world when it comes to marijuana smoking. You guessed it, North Korea. What? I know you were thinking the Netherlands or Spain or Canada, perhaps, but nope. A country that is freer than all of those countries when it comes to marijuana is North Korea. This is something I got today from nknews.org, a story called Struggle is the Enemy, Weed is the Remedy, the Truth About Marijuana in North Korea. Despite the North Koreans' deadly serious stance against the use of deadly dangerous drugs, you know, things like methamphetamine. They've had a big problem with methamphetamine in North Korea. Marijuana is neither classified nor illegal in any way. There is no law against marijuana. There is no prohibition against cannabis in any way. And the police forces and law enforcement could care less whether you have it, grow it, smoke it, sell it. They don't care. It's not even considered a drug in North Korea. So as a result, writes the NK News, it's the discerning North Korean gentleman's roll-up of choice. Imagine. NK News receives regular reports from visitors returning from North Korea who tell us of marijuana plants growing freely along the roadsides from the northern port town of Cheongjin right down to the streets of Pyongyang, the capital, where it is smoked freely and its sweet scent often catches your nostrils unannounced. There is no taboo around pot smoking in the country of North Korea. None at all. And many North Koreans know that it exists and have smoked it. The reason for smoking weed, writes NK News, in North Korea differs from America. In North Korea, you don't smoke weed purely to get high and laugh at your own hand. You do it to save money and as a break from the ubiquitous cheap local cigarettes. Marijuana is commonly sold at a cheap price and is easily obtainable. And it's written here that after a day of hard manual labor, it is common for North Korean workers to smoke marijuana as a way to relax and soothe tight or sore muscles. So in North Korea, you can work all day, come home, smoke your marijuana. You can smoke it in the streets. You can have a patch of it growing in your yard. You don't have to take your Advils and your naproxens and your ibuprofens and your aspirins for the everyday backaches and leg aches and neck aches and shoulder aches that you get from, you know, could be a day at construction, could be working in front of a keyboard, could be, you know, whatever it is that you might have a job doing there. After you're done with work, you can just relax and smoke a little herb. Now, although it is pretty easy to get a hold of in North Korea, the reports are that the weed in North Korea isn't actually very strong. And that's, you know, to be expected. They're, you know, it's not like they have a lot of electricity to be blowing and a lot of, you know, consumer goods coming in for, say, you know, indoor growing operations. And what they're growing outdoors is often, you know, of ditchweed type quality. Nevertheless, even low quality marijuana here in America can get you a jail cell. In North Korea, it's just growing by the side of the road. Now, the reports of the use of marijuana in Korea date all the way back to the formation of North Korea. Of course, Korea used to be one peninsular country, and then after World War II got divided into North Korea and South Korea. South Korea, of course, one of the most technologically and economically advantaged nations in the world, ranks tops in all sorts of educational, healthcare categories, economic indices, and broadband. Oh my God, the broadband in South Korea, I'm told, is just remarkable compared to what we have here in America. And of course, North Korea is known as being impoverished, disadvantaged, living under the tyrannical rule of Kim Jong-un and Kim Jong-il and Kim Jong, whoever the latest Kardashian is. And so North Korea, I'm not trying to paint this as a paradise or anything, but this history of marijuana use goes all the way back to the very formation of North Korea. In the Korean War, this was often being smoked by our soldiers, our U.S. soldiers. According to this report, commonly plucked the herb from the DMZ areas near the North Korean border and smoked it, with stories of tents being hotboxed by tired fighters, now a common recollection in the folklore of the difficult era. I like to imagine BJ and Hawkeye hotboxing the swamp on MASH. Oh, what a, you know, it was pretty funny when they had the still going, right? Can you imagine them having a little set of plants there that, that Frank Burns would get all upset about? Anyway, back here in the West, back here in America, our use of marijuana continues to get us jail cells. We continue to have a rate of incarceration far greater than what you'll find in even North Korea or even China, both in raw numbers and per capita. And we find a lot of this growth in prisons has a lot to do with the drug war, and a lot of the drug war has to do with the prohibition of marijuana. How is it here, in the land of the free and the home of the brave, we are less free for our marijuana smoking than people in communist, dictator-supported, tyrannical North Korea? This can't be the way that it lasts here, people. This cannot be the way that Americans live. We deserve at least the consideration that North Koreans are getting to be left alone by their government, to let nature be nature, let adults be adults, and let them handle the choice of plucking a roadside herb or tending a household herb garden and getting some measure, some tiny measure of relaxation and relief from something that is non-toxic, low side effects, low chance of addiction. We're going to keep fighting for that because we deserve at least that much consideration and probably more. And who knows, maybe in the future we can get some of our better American strains worldwide, and even the people in North Korea can enjoy something a little better than common ditch weed off of the side of the road. We'll keep working to make that happen right here at 420radio.org and the Russ Belville Show. Thanks for being a part of it. Oh my, oh my.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm sure they would love to smoke some diesel or, you know, some blackberry kush or some bubble gum.
You only have one strain there in North Korea. Got some or don't?
Roadside.
Roadside. It's downtown, it's brown. And if you're down, we'll be right back. China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Hi, I'm John Bon Jovi, and I've been given a script to talk to you about drugs, rock and roll, having fun, a good time, and all that good stuff. Well, I'll tell you what, drugs is not a part of my everyday routine. It's not everyday fun. It's not good for you. All right, so listen, think twice before you do drugs, because there ain't no women out there doing it.
Fun. Big Daddy thinks.
Won't you roll away?
The Russ Belville Show reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while. Share.
I think we're parked, man.
Take a little trip. Take a little trip. Take a little trip and see.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Irie Wednesday, featuring reggae, ska, and other world music genres. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
I may have to revisit that liner, because now you get your Daily Toker Tunes at dailytokertunes.com. We actually have a show URL for it. If you are a VIP member of 420radio.org, you'll get the show posts and the download links and the videos as much as we can give you. But right now, we got to turn things over to Brian the Red, because it's Irie Wednesday, and you got a preview of your show and everything.
Well, I mean, I was digging through some stuff, and I found a couple CD set from an artist called President Brown, President with a Z, and he's good stuff, man. It's, this one here is called Microchip, and it's some of the more, you know, brutal, you know, kind of brutally honest reggae.
So, and you're bringing some of this, some more President Brown on
tonight. Yeah, I got an Upful tune for you tonight, you know, and everybody likes the Upful. So check this one. It's the Strong Message. Listen to the words, you know, get a little... I understanding, you know.
All right. Check it out. This is President Brown.
Microchip. I'm going to check a Fort Bailey's going to find ship. I'll meet them on all the way. Lord. Babylon have a chopping on the western hemisphere, Rasta. Repatriation is a must. We kings and the name of his imperial majesty. I know them a broke all this anti-social commentary. Tell them to count me out, I'm not a part of this society. Exit from them system, mine, I don't want no re-entry. History Babylon breed international slavery. Fool the people, rule the people, that are feed them strategy. Now I see them coming with them one world order. And them a say it is to make life easier. But this is the same thing that Revelation tell. Without the mark of the beast, you cannot buy nor sell. Babylon of the people, them hip to the trigger. That is the lovely Leviathan 666, yeah. And now his kingdom won't come put my country. But we'll not accept the mark of the beast. And we can forget the black king of the east. Now we not accept the mark of the beast. And we can forget the black king of the east. And your line no come yourself, we make no sacrifice. Long time we your fight up for the real Antichrist. The mission is to open up the people, them eyes. And now make the beast attack them by no surprise. We carry many faces when them under this guy sidestep him. No hip to the tricks and the lies. They go Babylonian state and them continent. Shark now you bring him a creep on up the serpent. No more living underneath this spell. Cause what is heaven for them, for I man it's hell. Babylon of the people, them hip to the trick under this spell of Leviathan 666, yeah. And now we skin them one, come put my country, but we now accept them all, got the beast. And we can't forget the black king of the east. Now we now accept them all, got the beast. And we can't forget the black king of the east.
Ready in a Babylon until they them Rasta.
Lordy,
the age of plan, you know. This plan is not for black people. Repatriation is a must.
Greetings in the name of his imperial majesty. I know them a go call this anti-social commentary. Tell them to count me out, I'm not a part of this society. Exit from them system, mine, I don't want no re-entry. History Babylon breed international slavery. Fool the people, rule the people, that is to them strategy. Now I see them coming with them one world order. And them must say it is to make life easier. But this is the same thing that Revelation tell. Without the mark of the beast, you cannot buy nor sell. Babylon of the people, them hip to the trick under this spell of Leviathan 666, yeah. And now we skin them one, come put my country. But we now accept the mark of the beast. And we can't forget the black king of the east. No, we now accept the mark of the beast. And we can't forget the black king of the east. Babylon of the people, them are hip to the trick under this spell of Leviathan 666, yeah. And now we skin them one, come put my country. But we now accept the mark of the beast. And we can't forget the black king of the east. No, we now accept the mark of the beast. And we can't forget the black king of the east. Babylon of the people, them hip to the trick under this spell of Leviathan.
Marijuana is harmless. That's what everybody says these days. It's fun. It's recreational. Some even call it medicine. But every year, millions of young people find out that marijuana is extremely dangerous. Every year, they find out that it's deadly. Marijuana smoke is lethal and toxic. Don't believe anything you've ever heard positive about smoking marijuana. It will kill you. Really. It's really gonna kill you. Don't smoke it. It will really, really kill you. Seriously. It's gonna kill you.
Just over
joy. I've been cannabis activist for 40 years.
We are turning the corner on a failed policy that's been disastrous for our communities, and things are going to get better.
80 years ago, we repealed alcohol prohibition in this state. We did it prior to the federal government, and we're doing the same thing when it comes to marijuana. We are a step ahead, and we will continue to lead the way. It means I'm going to smoke a lot of weed tonight!
Some call it marijuana.
You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belville Show.
Some of them call it cannabis. Never mind legalizing.
It's time for the Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and a leading author and researcher on cannabinoids and health, who pins the Ask Dr. Mitch column for High Times Magazine. Get your questions ready in our live chat or call in to 971-533-7111 now.
Reach yet another Wednesday, so it's time to visit with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. How you doing, Dr. Mitch? Hello, Dr. Mitch. Are you there? Oh, we are having so much difficulties with our phones lately here. All right, let's see what we can find out here. We'll try a redial on that line. Give us just a moment here, and we will make that happen.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't
can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
All right, apologies for the delay there. We are getting an email out to Dr. Mitch, trying to find out what's going on as far as our connections, and we'll see if we can get him at the end of the show. In the meantime, I'm just going to go ahead with the radical rant, because this week I've been focused a lot on Kevin Sabet's new project. They call it Project Sam, Smart Approaches to Marijuana. I call it Project Sam I Am, Stealth Approaches to Marijuana Incarcerated Americans. And Project Sam, they've been hard at work, you know, launching their, last Thursday, they launched their new project. And now Patrick J. Kennedy, the former Rhode Island representative, David Frum, the conservative speechwriter, and Kevin Sabet, the former drug czar advisor, are now trying to paint this new Goldilocks method of maintaining marijuana prohibition. Basically, they want to say that marijuana prohibition, the drug war, is too hard, and legalization is too soft, and there's this just right middle way, this third way approach that rejects both of these extreme alternatives in favor of helping people for their own good, getting them the treatment and the rehab they need so that they can be good people that, you know, drink alcohol and smoke cigarettes instead. So this is this insidious new campaign, and I'm telling you, this has become a new focus for me, because I can see how this would appeal to some people who in their hearts realize that the injustice of the drug war, the racial incarceration aspects of it, the disproportionate sentences for things like people that are providing medical marijuana for cancer patients under state law, these kind of things are becoming indefensible. And they're trying to paint this as, but wait, you don't need to go, you know, throw the baby out with the bathwater and go full legalization. Here's this new way we can do it. We'll just force everyone into rehab. We'll just force them all to take a rehab they neither want nor need. So I am, you know, focused on this. And on Monday, we are going to be launching smartapproaches.com, and with a big press release and everything, which is our parody website of this, this Project Sam, this Smart Approaches to Marijuana that deems all of us to be people in need of re-education and incarceration. So, as part of this, I needed to do a little research on Patrick J. Kennedy. Now, the name is familiar. He's a former Rhode Island representative in the House, congressman, and the son of Edward Kennedy, Teddy Kennedy. You may remember Teddy Kennedy, the Democratic senator for so long. And, of course, grandson of Joseph Kennedy, the bootlegger and alcohol millionaire tycoon, right? In fact, the Kennedys have their wealth and prestige based on their grandpa, you know, bootlegging back in the Prohibition days and then becoming one of the first people to be a legal alcohol distributor once it became legal. So this alcohol dynasty, alcohol-fueled tycoons here with great political power. And it's pretty amazing, because this Patrick Kennedy carved out a pretty respected name for himself in American politics, becoming a congressman. And he's been an advocate for mental health and pretty remarkably pulled this off while addicted to drugs far more harmful than marijuana. Now, this is no secret, not telling tales out of school here. He admitted in the interview that, like his mother, he suffers from bipolar disorder and is certain that his father suffered PTSD after experiencing the assassination of two of his brothers within 5 years in the 1960s. Kennedy said he learned at an early age from his family how to self-medicate. He acknowledged using a variety of drugs, including pot and cocaine, during his teenage years. This is all in the Providence Journal. Also had a recent public battle with OxyContin. We'll get to that in a moment. Now, of course, as a Kennedy, Patrick was able to work through his issues with various drugs without being incarcerated or put on probation or P-tested or forced into a rehab like us ordinary simple people that David Frum wants to protect. No. His issues include such things as shoving a TSA security guard in 2000. Of course, they weren't called TSA back then, but same idea, right? Imagine shoving a TSA agent and what would happen to you or me if we did that. But he shoved a TSA guard in 2000. This was in LAX. It's on the, they have camera footage of it and everything. A woman by the name of Della. And he shoved her because he was trying to put a big bag through the x-ray. And she was telling him that that was way too much. He couldn't do that. And in trying to stop him from doing that, she shoved him. Now, no charges were ever brought against Kennedy, but he did offer to settle with the woman for $25,000. Oh, Sorry I inconvenienced you. Here, would you like $25,000? And she actually rejected it and just asked for an apology. So good on you, Della. But anyway, he shoved this this agent back in $2,000. For you and me, that's a strip search in a jail cell. I'm telling you, that's what happens to you or me, but we're not Kennedys, right? Later in that same year, in 2000, Patrick J. Kennedy was abandoning and damaging at least four rental yachts, one with $28,000 worth of damages around Martha's Vineyard. Now, you and me, we take the rental car in with a dent in it. What happens to you or me? But no, he abandoned and damaged at least, he abandoned one of them. One of the yachts, and then there was reports of him returning the other three with damage and stuff. But the one he abandoned was found with $28,000 worth of damages. Try just abandoning your damaged rental car one of these days. See what happens. Also, one night, the Coast Guard had to be dispatched to his yacht when his girlfriend called from the yacht off the coast of Martha's Vineyard to break up an argument between the drunk Patrick J. Kennedy and his girlfriend, who was obviously unaware of the dangers of being near water with a Kennedy. Normally, erratic antisocial behaviors like these from someone who acknowledged being treated for cocaine use during his teenage years and admitted abusing drugs and alcohol while in college would earn enough law enforcement attention to address the underlying drug problem. Ah, but as a Kennedy, Patrick didn't ever see the inside of a police station, a forced rehab, or even lose his job over his drug addiction. Not that he ever really had a job, as Kennedy told the Young Democrats in 2003, quote, "I have never worked a fucking day in my life," end quote. What finally forced Patrick into rehab was when he wrecked his car twice while high in the span of 3 weeks. On April 15th, 2006, Patrick Kennedy was on his way to the drugstore, ironic, in Portsmouth, Rhode Island, when he made an abrupt left turn, crashing into an oncoming Nissan. An eyewitness told the Boston Globe that Kennedy had been weaving and driving aggressively beforehand and was impaired when she confronted him outside his car afterward, saying, quote, "He was swaying and his eyes were glazed," end quote. 3 weeks or so later, on May 4th, 2006, Patrick J. Kennedy crashed his automobile into a barricade on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. A Capitol Police official said the congressman had appeared intoxicated, but Kennedy claimed that he was merely disoriented from prescription medications Ambien and Phenergen. "Oh, don't worry. I was just taking Ambien and Phenergen. They're pills. Molecules work magic when they're in pill form." And said, quote, to the press, Patrick Kennedy after this said, quote, "Sometime around 2:45 in the morning, I drove the few blocks to the Capitol complex believing I needed to vote." At 2:45 in the morning. "Apparently I was disoriented from the medication. So I drove at 2:45 in the morning." He added, quote, "At no time before the incident did I consume any alcohol," end quote. However, the Boston Herald reported that a hostess at the Hawk and Dove restaurant where Patrick J. Kennedy was seen in before the crash saw him drinking in the hours before the crash. Quote, "He was drinking a little bit," end quote, said the woman. Louis P. Cannon, president of the Washington chapter of the Fraternal Order of Police at the time, told CBS News how, once again, Patrick Kennedy's silver spoon was digging him out of the drug-related trouble. Quote, "The officers on the scene, it is my understanding, smelled alcohol, and based on his demeanor and their experience, believed him to be intoxicated." Cannon also explained how officers at the scene were instructed by an official above the rank of patrolman to take Kennedy home. He continued, quote, "I would think for the average citizen, they would probably be taken into custody. Because of who he is, courtesies were extended. If it had been you or me, we would have been left in handcuffs, or we would have left in handcuffs," end quote. So, in a time-honored tradition followed by celebrities and politicos alike, Patrick Kennedy gave a very public mea culpa and voluntarily checked himself into rehab in 2006 to avoid bad public relations. "I know that I need help," Kennedy said, detailing what he called a long-term struggle with depression and addiction. So long-term, in fact, that Kennedy voluntarily checked himself into rehab again in 2009. Now, after three times voluntarily checking himself into rehab for OxyContin, cocaine, and alcohol, and struggling with depression and bipolar disorder, Patrick Kennedy, more than most, understands how vital it is to use the force of government to coerce people into treatment for using a drug safer than the ones he abused for years without serious repercussions. So that's a little bit of Patrick J. Kennedy, one of the people who thinks you need rehab because you're a pot smoker. Obviously, I mean, if you're caught, obviously you have a problem with it, and we need to force you into rehab for your own good. Never mind that takes a bed away from a heroin, alcohol, cocaine addict, methamphetamine addict that really, really need help. By gosh, we're going to get you the help you don't want, don't need for your own damn good.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Cast your eyes up to the skies. What is it to live and die?
Normal stands for responsible adult cannabis use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks may be far less than those posed by...
That there was one question that was voted on that ranked fairly high, and that was whether legalizing marijuana would improve the economy and job creation. And I don't know what this says about the online audience, but...
Now, here's an attractive couple, Gail Farrell from Durant, Oklahoma, Dick Dale from Algona, Iowa. Excuse me, let's listen to Gail and Dale and one of the newer songs.
One toke over the line, sweet Jesus, one toke over the line. Sitting downtown in a railway station, one toke over the line. Waiting for the train that goes home, sweet Mary, hoping that the train is on time. sitting downtown in a railway station, one talk over the line. Who do you love? I hope it's me. I've been changing, as you can plainly see.
I felt the joy and I learned about the pain
that my mama said. If I should choose to make a part of me, would surely strike me dead. And now I'm one toke over the line, sweet Jesus, one toke over the line. Sitting downtown in a railway station, one toke over the line. Waiting for the train that goes home, sweet Mary, hoping that the train is on time. Sitting downtown in a railway station, one toke over the line. One toke over the line, sweet Jesus, one toke over the line. Sitting downtown in a railway station, one toke over the line.
Don't you know that we're
waiting for the train that goes home, sweet Mary, hoping that the train is on time. Sitting downtown in a railway station, one toke over the line.
Don't you know that we're
sitting downtown in a railway station, one toke. One toke over the line.
And there you heard A Modern Spiritual by Gail and...
But I'll be honest with you. You probably read it in Screw Up Your Life magazine. I mean, People magazine anyway. I used to smoke marijuana. But I'll tell you something, I would only smoke it in the late evening. Oh, occasionally the early evening, but usually the late evening or the mid-evening. So I just had the early evening, mid-evening, and late evening. Occasionally early afternoon or the mid-afternoon or perhaps the late mid-afternoon. Oh, sometimes the early mid, late early morning. But never at dusk. Never at dusk. I would never do that. Okay. Hey. Grandpa bought a rubber.
All right. Welcome back. It's the Russ Belville Show. I have to admit, we've been. I had to throw a video in there and get some time trying to reach Dr. Mitch. We called back and just no.
I feel sorry for women.
No answer. And settle down there, Steve. No answer. So I don't know what's happened with Dr. Mitch, but unfortunately, we can't bring him to you today. But we'll get him back for next week on our Russ Belville Show. In the meantime, just speaking of that album real briefly, that's one of the Steve Martin albums, I believe, Wild and Crazy Guy. And I had that album when I was a little kid because I was a huge Saturday Night Live fan and a huge Steve Martin fan. And I remember as a little kid, I used to go around and sing, Grandpa bought a rubber. And my parents are like, stop that. And I had no idea why it was funny. Just a little kid. So what did I know? Anyway, welcome back to the show. You caught me caught a little off guard here without having the extra segment. So what I'm going to do here to wind up the show is to give you a little more taste of the satire that we're going to be debuting on Monday. Probably about 9 a.m. Eastern time, the smartapproaches.com website. And what I'm doing basically is taking their website and then I am just snarking the hell out of it. I am just eviscerating it. And in it, in a Swiftian way, you know, trying to get the facts in about marijuana while I'm trying to set, it's like a Stephen Colbert kind of thing in a way, a little bit, right? So one of the articles that was up on their site is something that was David Frum that was on CNN. And David Frum, if you don't know, is a conservative thinker. He's a writer, pundit, if you will, has articles, writes for the Daily Beast, was a former speechwriter for Ronald Reagan. And you often see him on these, you know, political talk show types. He's in the DC cocktail circuit, right? So there was an article that he wrote called Marijuana Too Risky a Choice. And it was this paternalistic, you know, we can't make complex rules That, you know, maybe some people could have marijuana because some people can't follow those complex rules, because look what happened with the home mortgages and look what happened with student loans. So therefore, you know, the simple people, the hoi polloi, the plebes, if you will, can't handle a complex rule that would allow them to have marijuana under circumstances. So, you know, for the good of the society, they need to just give a little and sacrifice, you know, maybe drink alcohol and smoke cigars or something instead of using cannabis. It's just, I encourage all to read it, because it really gives you, it's one of the most unvarnished, you know, pull back the curtain views on the mindset of these people. Okay, so I take that article, and just like all the articles that are going to be up there at smartapproaches.com, I add a little twist to it. So I'm just going to read to you from my satirical take on that CNN article, not from on cable news. By the way, everybody on Smart Approaches is named not whatever their name is, because, you know, maybe it'll help in court. Okay, so not from on cable news. Marijuana, too risky a choice. Last week, I joined the board of a new organization to maintain marijuana prohibition, Smart Approaches to Marijuana. The group is headed by former U.S. Representative Not Patrick Kennedy and includes Not Kevin Sabet, a veteran of the Drug Czar's office under President Obama. The new group rejects the unpopular war on drugs that only 7% of Americans believe we're winning. It agrees that we want to lock people up for casual marijuana use and punish them with an arrest in order to force them to stop smoking marijuana. We will send the message, upon the threat of incarceration, that private, responsible adult marijuana use is a bad choice. There are many excellent reasons to prefer martinis to marijuana, like me and my D.C. cocktail circuit friends do. Some newly debunked research says marijuana use damages brain development in young people, not as much as alcohol. So we have to stop adults from using it. Heavy users become socially isolated by laws that put them at risk of arrest in public and perform worse in school and at work, not as bad as alcoholics, when they are suspended or terminated for marijuana use. According to the government agency dedicated to telling you how bad marijuana is, marijuana smoke harms the lungs, though its smokers do have less risk of head, neck, and lung cancer than non-smokers. A growing body of evidence suggests that marijuana can trigger psychotic symptoms, even though the rates of schizophrenia and psychosis have remained constant, despite the rise and fall in marijuana's popularity. It's possible to imagine a marijuana rule that treats adults like adults and allows them to choose a relaxant far safer than alcohol. Such a rule might say, you shouldn't use marijuana until you're over the age at which we allow you to use the far more dangerous alcohol. You should consider avoiding marijuana if you have a family history of mental illness, just as children of alcoholics should consider avoiding alcohol. Be aware that about 11% of users will become chronically dependent on marijuana, and like those who abuse alcohol, you should seek professional help if it is causing problems in your life. You can drive on 100% THC Marinol once you've built a tolerance, and since inhaled marijuana is felt immediately, you should never drive if you are feeling the effects of marijuana. Be as careful as you can within the limits of our present knowledge. Yet as a parent of 3, 2 exiting adolescence and 1 entering, I've found that the argument that makes the biggest impression is because I said so. I think many other parents have found the same thing. When we write social rules, we always need to consider, who are we writing rules for? Well-educated, middle-class, suburban white people, or, well, you know. Some well-connected white people will get a slap on the wrist for an early mistake, but others will never recover. Just say no is an easy rule to follow. Just ask any teen mom. Over the past 3 decades, and in area after area of social life, Americans have replaced simple rules that anybody can follow with complex rules that baffle large numbers of people. Consider, for instance, voting. It used to be that only white landowning males could vote. This was a simple rule that women, peasants, and slaves could understand. But over time, we endured a period of suffrage activism that first extended the franchise to all white men, then to black men, then to all women, then to people aged 18 to 21, and then only if you can provide a state-issued photo ID. Now, thanks to these complex voting rules, large enough numbers of people were so baffled they voted for Barack Obama, when clearly Mitt Romney was the choice I would have made for them. This situation is so bad in two states that large numbers of people actually voted for the responsible adult use of alcohol with no criminal sanctions. There are trade-offs, yes, and it takes the form in denying some adults the easy access to a pleasure that they know is safer than alcohol. But they are likely deluding themselves about how well they're managing their marijuana use because, you know, they're potheads. And even if they're not deluded, if they really are so capable and effective, then surely they can see that society has already been massively re-engineered to allow them to drink alcohol and smoke cigarettes. Surely, enough is enough. Yeah.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
That's all the time we got here. For Brian the Red, I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes downstairs.